Bible study, a time to study, ask questions, and fellowship around the Word of God with Apostle Kyron and Pastor Kimberly Buford of New Antioch Christian Fellowship of Stafford, Virginia, with Breaking Chains and Young Adult Talk. Join us live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at 858-357-9137.
Praise the Lord, and thank you for joining us tonight on this Tuesday night with Breaking Chains with New Antioch Christian Fellowship of Stafford Tuesday night Bible study. This is Pastor Kimberly Buford, and Apostle Kyron Buford will be joining us in just a moment. But as we get started, let's go to the throne of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless you tonight. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. We give you glory. Lord God, we thank you for protecting us, for hiding us, for keeping us, for covering us, for loving us. Oh God, you have given us what we don't deserve and didn't give us what we do deserve. And for that, we are eternally grateful, Lord God. Lord God, we repent of our sins, our shortcomings, our attitudes, our failings, everything in us that does not look like you, everything Amen. In us that is not reflective of your glory. Lord God, have mercy on our souls. Lord God, we want to look like you. We want to be pleasing to you. We want to learn all about you. God, we want to look just like you. We want to walk like you. We want to talk like you. God, we want to be your reflection as the moon is to the sun, Lord God. We want to look like you. Lord God, use these lessons that we are learning, Father God. Use these lessons, the words that you left, your words, Father God. Use that to teach us, to train us, to mold us, and to shape us, Lord God, into being the vessels of honor that you called us to be from the foundation of the earth. And, Lord, we'll be careful to give you all glory, all honor, and all praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Amen.
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 And as we get started, you know, sometimes we wonder, does God hear us? Sometimes we wonder, does God even know I exist? And the answer is a resounding yes. He knows. Yes. The word says that the hairs on our very head are counted. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He definitely knows your name.
Oh, we lift our hands to you, Jesus. Father, we love you. Yeah. I have a maker. He formed my heart. Before even time began, my life was in his hand. Oh, and he knows my name.
He knows my name.
And he knows my name. Oh, yes, he does.
remember the very first time I heard that song, and it broke me down to tears. I was reduced to tears when I heard it because it was so appropriate. So many times we sit back and say, God, do you hear me when I pray? Do you even know I exist, God? And to me, that was God saying a resounding yes. The Bible says that as even if a mother could forget her own baby, and if you're a mother, you know that's pretty much an impossibility. But even if a mother could forget her own child, I could never forget you. God says that our picture is engraved in the palm of his hand. Wow.
Amen.
So that's just a reminder. Daddy knows who we are, and he wants to hear from us. And that's why we study prayer. That's why we're studying this. Amen. And our teacher this week is Pastor Rosie, and I'm going to get out of her way. Amen.
Amen. My goodness, you can preach this message if you want to.
No.
It's a wonderful message. Thank you so much for that song. Wow, what an appropriate song to pray tonight. To play tonight.
Amen.
Wow. Notice what that song is saying. It says, "We have a Father."
Yes.
We have a Father. We have a Father. No
matter who
you are, we have a Father.
We have a Father.
We have a Father, and he knows my name.
That's right.
The Bible says, my sheep know my name. We are his sheep.
You know what, Pastor
Robert?
It's funny you say that. It's funny you say that because I think it was last night. You know, we've been snowed in for a week, y'all, so we got nothing but time on our hands. And I was watching, I saw a video on YouTube, and I had to show it to my husband. And it literally showed what you just said, how God says, my sheep know my voice, and another they will not hear. It was a bunch of sheep out in this pasture, right? It was a huge pasture, a bunch of sheep out there. And you had different people. It must have been like a tour group. And it was a bunch of people, and they took turns calling the sheep. The sheep didn't even look up. The sheep did not even look up. People were yelling at the top of their lungs. They were calling out this, that, and the other. The sheep did not even look up. They went all about their business. But when the shepherd walked up, the shepherd came up, and he called them. All the sheep started looking up. And as they looked up, they were looking around, and he called them again, and they came running. They came running. It was the most the most amazing thing. They came running. You know, if you go to somebody else's dog, they might come to you. They might not come to you. You could be a perfect stranger, and dogs will do that. But the sheep didn't pay attention to anybody. I mean, they didn't look up. They didn't pay them a lick of attention. But when the shepherd came, that's when they paid attention.
And since you brought that up, did you know that even if a shepherd had 50 sheep, that shepherd, from the time that sheep is born, that baby, what is a baby sheep called? A ewe?
A lamb?
A ewe lamb? A ewe lamb?
Yeah.
Anyway, from the time it's born, that shepherd nurtures that sheep and names the sheep. I don't care if that shepherd has 50 sheep. That shepherd names each one and remembers each sheep's name. That's amazing to me. They
That's
really,
beautiful.
Really do. I'm not making this up.
That's
they
beautiful.
Really do.
But you know what? I believe that, and I believe that in God's economy, too, because each one of my children, I know for a fact God gave me the name for each one of them. God named me. And I believe that God gave my mother my name. I believe that each of us, God named each of us. I believe that. I totally believe
it. Amen.
And I believe he knows us. Because if you think about it, I mean, if you pay attention to your characteristics and your behavior, if you pay attention to your characteristics and your behavior, I have not met people yet that don't live up to their name.
Names are important.
And in Jewish culture, it's extremely important. In Jewish culture, they take that to heart. And we should, too. You know, now, if you go out and name your child after a car, I don't know about all of that. But I'm just saying, you know, in general, if we're listening to God, God tells us what to name our children. I'm just saying.
Yes. Amen. Amen. So, therefore, when we go to God in prayer, we should not go shaking our knees, trembling, being afraid.
Amen.
Because we're going to someone who knows us. He is our Father. Yes. And he, even the littlest child, like the song said, the smallest child, he cares about.
Amen.
But
Amen.
Thank you for that. But don't stop talking, but let me find out who's on the line first. But I'd like to know who I'm talking to.
Amen.
Who's the first person to speak up? Hello.
Hi, Pastor Rosie.
Hello,
Pastor Kim.
Hey.
Hi, it's Ursula.
Hey.
I didn't recognize your voice there for a moment, Elder Ursula.
That's called rest, isn't it? Is that called rest,
Elder
Ursula?
Yes. And who else is on the phone? Who else is on the phone? No one else?
We got a couple of other people, but they might have the phone on mute.
Oh, okay. To all you no-name people, hello and welcome tonight. It's a pleasure to have you. And
Amen.
I hope at some point in time you will just chime in and let us hear your voice. Let us hear your heart.
Amen.
God's listening also. And your words are important also, just as important
Amen.
As mine, maybe more so. So please, at
Amen.
Some point in time, chime in, okay?
Amen.
Excuse me. As we forgive my coughing, I'm so sorry. As we're still in prayer, as we know that some of you, well, maybe some of you were not online last week, but anyway, we started out by defining what prayer was, what prayer is, and we gave us sort of a simplified version of what prayer is, and we said that prayer is a dialogue with God, you know,
Amen.
Just talking to God, just like any child would come to his or her parent and talk to them or to a friend or what have you. That's how we can have, if we have a relationship with the Lord and we're all striving to have a grander relationship with our God,
right.
We go to him and we just pour out our heart to him. We talk to him, not just begging him for things, but we talk to him about the day, what's going on in the day. We talk to him about good things, bad things, anything that's on our heart. He is approachable. We said that last week. He's not someone to be afraid of, just like the song said. He is our Father. He knows our name. He loves us, each
Amen.
One of us. No one is insignificant. No one.
That's right.
No one.
That's right.
I don't care what you've gone through. I don't care what you have done. I don't care what you have done. He still loves you. Look what Jesus went through for us.
That's
My
right.
goodness. And he still loves us. So
Amen.
Just talk to him while you're driving, while you're doing the dishes, while you working on the car, whatever you're doing. He loves it when you're talking to him. He listens all the time for each one of our voices. I've heard people say things like, well, I don't want to bother God. So many people are calling out on, so many people are praying to him, and I just don't want to be a bother. You know, that's, I don't mean to sound mean, but that's a silly, silly thing to say. We're talking about the all-knowing God, God omnipotent, God,
amen.
The God who, listen, if a million people were in this room now calling out to God, he would hear each person individually and respond likewise. We're not talking about a human being here. We're talking about God. Never think that your problem, never think that your concern is too small for God. Never think it's
Amen.
Too large. Never think that it's a bothersome, oh my gosh, I'm throwing out all these big words that I don't even know. Never think that it's a bothersome to go to him. He wants you to bother him. And it's not a bother. We use that word.
You are absolutely correct. You are absolutely correct. And I'm a living witness. God cares about the least, the smallest details of our life that we would think, oh, God's not interested in that. I tell the story all the time. I'm not going to tell the story again, but I tell the story all the time about my wallpaper. I love telling people about my wallpaper because God cared about my wallpaper. God cared about my wallpaper. And, you know, that sounds so silly. It sounds so trivial, but it was important to me. The wallpaper was important to me, and God knew it was important to me. And because it was important to me, it was important to him.
It's important
to him. God cares about, exactly, God cares about the things that are important to you because you are important to him.
Uh-huh.
I am important to him. So he cares about the things that are important to us. And because and he's just like any other parent. The things that your child is concerned with, the things that your child cries out to you about, the things that your child needs or wants, you care about that. And the Bible, God said, if you being evil know how to give a good gift to your child, how much more?
Amen.
How much more can I give a great gift to you?
Amen.
So we just have to look at it from that perspective. And I think one of the problems is because of the breakdown of the family, because people have such a negative attitude about fathers in general, it's hard for them to see a heavenly father that's good. I think that's part of the problem anyway. That might not be all of them, but I think that's part of it.
It probably is, yes. It probably is, yes. But he cares, and he does want to hear from us. It is important to pray. It is important to talk to him because he knows what is needed and at what time it's needed.
Amen.
Better than I do. And I'm not going to be talking about me, but I am going to say this one thing about me. One thing I do is, and I know I'm not the only one, when I get up in the morning after, you know, talking to God, just praying a little bit, I we have the Holy Spirit, who's our guide, our leader. He is our comforter. He's there for us all the time. I get up in the morning and I say, Lord, what should I wear today? And I've said this before, so I'm going to give you the short version. I say, Lord, what should I wear today? I leave it up to God as to what I should wear. I know that sounds silly. I know it sounds silly, but let me tell you what happened to me. The Lord, when I asked him what to wear, immediately my thought went to a suit that I had. And so I dressed up that morning, and I just said, wow, you know, to myself, I'm really dressing up today. But when I got to work, little did I know that my boss was taking photographs to be put in the paper.
Wow.
And had I dressed the way I would have wanted to dress, I would have been embarrassed, you know, at the way I would have looked.
Wow.
So it's important to just talk to the Lord about every single thing. Your clothes, your car, whatever. Go to Him.
Amen.
He hears. He cares. Amen. He answers.
Amen.
And
you know what else? On my job, mm-hmm. on your job when you have difficulties, on your job when you have issues that you can't seem to solve, when you have things that you don't know the answer to, we can go to God mm-hmm. with that. I went to God.
Amen.
About several of my students over the past 15 years. I've gone to God. I talk to God about my students and some of their issues, and God will give us wisdom. God will give us wisdom in how to handle situations and circumstances. God will give us wisdom mm-hmm. in how to handle those situations. If you are a student, God will bless you with wisdom in how to deal with your classes, in understanding
mm-hmm.
things,
mm-hmm.
in receiving
uh-huh.
the knowledge that you and in retaining the knowledge. I'm a living
uh-huh.
witness because I'm telling you some of the classes I've been taking in school lately. When I,
mm-hmm.
some of these things, especially working and going to school and
mm-hmm.
taking care of a family and running the church,
mm-hmm.
it was wearing
mm-hmm.
me out. And I told God, if I pass these classes, it's all you, God. It's I give you all
mm-hmm.
glory because I know
uh-huh.
I cannot do this. And
mm-hmm.
I still have like a 3.8 GPA. I'm feeling
mm-hmm.
like, God, you know what? This was all you.
Mm-hmm.
This some
mm-hmm.
of the classes, I'm sitting there like, God, if you don't
mm-hmm.
get me out of this class, I'm
yes.
going to flat fail. I already know I can't do this because,
mm-hmm.
I got too much on my plate.
Mm-hmm.
But God,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
God,
mm-hmm.
He has brought
but God.
Me through every single situation and circumstance. He is faithful
mm-hmm.
like that. That's what Daddy
mm-hmm.
does. That's
absolutely.
What Daddy does.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely. I just want to ask a question here. Well, let me just say this. We're talking about what God does, how He listens to us, how He answers us. I wonder sometimes why is it that we as humans and especially we as Christians don't go to God more often. One of the reasons what I said before is that sometimes we think that our situation is insignificant. He has too much on his mind. Can anybody, does anyone want to say something about some of the reasons you feel that more of us do not go to God in prayer, but yet we take these things on to ourselves. We try to solve our problems ourselves. We get in more trouble. We get burdened down. We get sick sometimes when all we need to do is just turn it over to Him. Does anybody want to just say something in that area? Anyone? If not, I'll keep going.
I'll say this. Sometimes, especially when life throws distractions at you. Possibly
mm-hmm.
I was talking about this last night. Distractions come in. When the distractions come in, that's exactly what happens. We get distracted.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reading a book right now. It's called When a Nation Forgets God, 7 Lessons We Must Learn from Nazi Germany.
Right,
and,
right.
In this book, it really helps you to focus on the fact that most of our, just about every distraction that we end up having, just about every distraction that we end up having, the root of it goes back to money. Whether it's
you know what,
job,
that is so true. That's
whether
so true.
It's your education, no matter what
mm-hmm.
it, the distractions that we end up having. And I can't think of any at this point that don't go back to money. And
mm-hmm.
in our everyday life, when we get distracted away from God, just about every part of it, just about every distraction we can come up with goes back to God. I mean, goes back to money. If it's school, if you're a student and you're distracted because, well, you know, I gotta get my lesson, I gotta do this, I gotta do that because I have to get a scholarship so I can pay for school, or so that I can go to college and get in a good college, so that I can graduate and get a good job so I can make money. You know, it's crazy. But when you thinking about it, it was like, wow. It does. But everything comes back to money, those distractions, those little foxes. And we have to get to the point where we get past the little foxes.
Yeah. That's the time we say, hold up, hold up. Hopefully, your friends, your Christian brothers and sisters will recognize what's going on and will minister to you, will speak some words of wisdom to you, and hopefully you'll be open. But if not, if we can only believe, if even starting tonight, if we can, when we get all bound up, when we get distracted, just like what you were saying, it's time to say, hold up, hold up, hold up. Let me stand still for a moment. Let me be still for a moment. And I promise you, even if you don't say a word, you just be still. And I'm talking about a Christian now. You just be still. You are going to hear the Lord say something to you. Some things are going to start coming to your mind from him, from your into your heart. You're going to hear him. It's important for us to take time out and be still. Do you know that before Jesus made any decision, he prayed to the Father? And I'll give you an example. When he chose, when he got ready to start his ministry, you know, the first thing he did was to choose his disciples. He prayed about that.
Yes.
He prayed when he had to make decisions. He prayed when there was a trouble coming. Think about the time when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed. He prayed in times when there was a need, you know, for the people, when he would bless a breaking of the bread, blessing of the bread. I can't talk tonight.
Mm-hmm.
When he was, he just prayed all the time.
Yes, he did.
And one of the reasons he prayed is because he was getting his marching orders. He was getting his orders from the Father. He wasn't relying on his own strength as Jesus the man. He was going to the Father, not only to be filled, but to get orders. And so he would know what to do, when to do it, and so forth and so on.
I think that's one of the things that we don't do. Especially in ministry, that's a thing that we should do. It's a thing that we're supposed to do, but a lot of the time we depend on strategy. We depend on plans and being prepared, and we meet to death. We have to have a meeting for the meeting that's about the meeting that we're going to meet about next week. We plan, we meet, we strategize. And not saying that that's bad, but it should not take the place of what God wants to do in our lives.
Amen.
It should not take the place of who he has called us to be and what he's called us to do. It should not take the place of. It's never meant to take the place of. We have to, because see, sometimes the things that God will tell us to do are not strategic. sometimes the things that God will tell, well, not strategic, it doesn't make sense. God has
it
his
does
own
not
strategy.
Make sense.
God has
it
his
does
own
not make
strategy.
Sense.
And God's
yeah.
strategy might not be our strategy or the strategy that we think we ought to have. Am I making sense? And so when we do what God tells us to do, a lot of people are going to say, that's crazy. Y'all only got 5 members over there. How are you going to do that? Or, you know, you don't know nobody in that state. Why would you do that?
Yeah.
Or something like that. God telling us to move to a state where we knew absolutely nobody was complete
yeah.
crazy. Go to Virginia and start a church. We don't know nobody up here. You know, that complete craziness. But God had
right.
strategy. There was a reason that God did it. There's a reason
yeah.
that God will tell you, sometimes God will tell you, well, quit your job and go and do X, Y, and Z. God, I ain't got no money. That's okay. I got you. Just do what I said to do. Leave from your people and go to a land that you know not. And I'll tell
That's right.
you where to go and what to do.
That's right. That's right.
And God has his
That's
own
right.
plan and his own strategy. And we keep trying
yeah.
to figure God out. And I think that's
yeah.
part of our problem as human beings.
Yeah. And the thing about it is that we have the perfect example of doing just what you and I have just spoke about. Jesus had a custom of praying. It was a
yes.
lifestyle of prayer. A lifestyle,
yes.
again, prayer is talking
Amen.
To the Father. He had a lifestyle of talking to the Father.
Amen.
And every time he gave out, when I say gave out, I mean every time he healed or he did some kind of miracle, he always withdrew. And he got away from the crowd. He got away from the noise. You know, to be refilled, and you know, he would get up early in the morning, before it was daylight,
yeah.
and he would go to a solitary place to pray, and he always put prayer first.
Yeah.
And I just want to throw out some scriptures for you know, some examples here so you can look them up later. Mark 1:35, Matthew 14:23, Luke 6:12. Now, there are many others. I just put those out there. Jesus
Amen.
Thought prayer, you know, that was his lifestyle. He was dependent on talking to the Father. That's how we have to get if we want a successful life. We have to be dependent on the Father. If you're dependent on somebody, you're going to talk to them. You're going to be around them. You're going to talk to them because you're dependent on them. And I sometimes think, you know, I mentioned sometime back in this conversation where people are a little bit afraid to go to God in prayer. They hesitate for some reason. But, you know, I really think it's doubt. People doubt. Well, and the reason I say that, because just last week I heard so many people talking, and sure enough, doubt came into the conversation. They knew something, but they didn't really think it would happen, you know. But anyway, doubt stuck out in my mind, and I looked it up. I looked up the meaning, and I just want to read what doubt, just some of it. I looked it up in the King James Dictionary, and it says, doubt is to waver or fluctuate an opinion. You want to hesitate. It means to be in suspense, uncertain, you know, being uncertain about something. Doubt is to fear, to be apprehensive, to suspect, you know. It holds us captive. And it's doubt causes us to question, to hold. It causes us to question our belief sometimes, you know.
That's right.
They can say, "I believe the story you told, but I doubt if it's really true. I believe God will do this, but will he really do it for me?"
It's always a
relative of fear. It goes right back to fear, you know. And that,
amen.
That is a spirit. That is
amen.
A spirit that's not from God.
That's right.
And it's
a spirit that will cause you to freeze.
It's a spirit that
will cause
you to hesitate.
It will cause you to hesitate. It will cause you to, and sometimes that hesitation is all the enemy needs to get you not to do what God told you to do.
That's right.
We are going about doing the work that God called us to do, sometimes we most literally have to just do it. It's almost like that fight or flight response. When I get ready to preach, a lot of the time I have that feeling in the pit of my stomach. It's like, do I want to run or do I want to do this? And before I have a chance to think, seriously, I know y'all might not think that, but, it's like that split second, am I going to run, throw up, or just do this? And I can't think about it. I have to just do it. I can't think. I can't analyze. I have to just boom, go. Because if I take that split second to think, the enemy will get in and make me doubt myself, doubt what God told me. And on too many occasions, the word that I've spoken, the word that God, I know God gave me, I will, instead of hesitating, I'll just jump and do. So sometimes that the enemy does not want me to speak that word, and I know. And there are times when I've seriously, that doubt will be lingering, and I'm like, God, are you sure? God, are you sure? I have to just do it. And I was afraid. Not afraid, but it was like that fear started trying to creep in, and I just have to jump and do it. And then after the fact, we find out, oh, my gosh, that word was for me. I don't know how you knew X, Y, and Z. I don't know how God knew, or I don't know why, but I don't even know why I was here. But this, that message was for me. That message changed my life. That message did this, that, and the other. That is what God can do when we just do what he said do and don't think about it. Just jump. Just jump.
That's trust. That's trust.
Yeah.
That is trust in God. That is trust in the one that you are praying to. That is trust in him. And that kind of faith comes by, I'm not going to say it. Let's read it. If I can get over here real quick. Does anybody have that? Hebrews 11.
Hebrews 11.
Okay, got it. Let's see. Elder Ursula. She must have me on mute.
Okay.
Hebrews 11. It says, now faith.
Amen.
Not talking about faith of yesterday, faith in the future, but he's talking about now faith.
Mute.
I'm sorry, what?
I said, sorry, I had you on mute.
Okay. You have Hebrews 11?
I do not right at this moment.
Oh, okay. Hebrews 11, it says, now faith, and again, it's not yesterday's faith, it's not last year's faith, it's now faith.
Now faith is
the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, and that is not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for, where's the scripture that talks about faith comes by hearing, and the hearing
by the word of God. Is that John?
Hold on a second.
I thought that was Hebrews, but
That is Romans chapter 10, verse 17.
Amen.
Hello. How are you?
I'm great.
Apostle Buford, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful, darling. How are you?
I am so much better now.
Amen.
Romans chapter 10.
Amen.
Yeah,
and
that
verse
kind
17.
Of, verse 17. You want to read it?
So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Amen.
And hearing by the word of God. Now, that kind of faith that we were talking about, some people say, well, how do I get it? Right here, it just told you how to get it. That means that this Bible is important, isn't it? It's important to get in here and read and study God's word. And as we're doing that, faith is maturing in us, isn't it? It's coming alive.
Amen.
It's coming alive in us. And it's important. And but anyways, I forgot what we were talking about other than that. You know, God made us some promises. And this is another reason why we should pray. He made a lot of promises to us.
Yes.
And I'm just going to read some, and you guys can throw out some there. There's so many promises that God gave us. But before I even say that, in Isaiah 55:11, God says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it.
Amen.
That's a promise there, isn't it?
Amen.
These are all.
That's right.
And God, and Jeremiah 1:12, I like this one. I am ready to perform my word. He's always standing ready. He's waiting for us.
Amen.
Always ready to perform his word.
Yes,
that's
he
right.
Is.
John 16:44. I'm sorry, what?
I said he's just waiting on us to stand up.
That's right. That's right. You take the first step. He takes over if you
that's
let
it.
Him.
That's it.
John 16:24, ask and you will receive.
That's
that
it.
Your joy may be full. These are all promises that God has given us. These are reasons
Amen.
Why we pray. These are reasons. These are great
Amen.
Reasons. John 16:23, whatever you ask in the Father's name,
yes.
he will give you.
Amen.
Let me just say something about that real quick. I've also heard Christians now who say, well, you know, I don't even know, how do I pray? But do I pray in Jesus' name? Do I pray in the Holy Spirit's name? How do I pray? But I want everyone to know that, and I'm not going to look the scripture up real quick because I have to think about where it is first. But God told the Bible says, whatsoever ye ask in, first of all, we pray to the Father, Father God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, in
Amen.
The name of Jesus.
Amen.
We pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. And again, Jesus gave us examples all through this Bible. He never prayed to himself. He prayed to the Father.
That's right.
And so, anyway, what are some of the other promises? These are reasons why we need to pray. He says, did I say John 14:14? If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Jesus said that.
That kind of covers
he
it
said,
all.
If you ask anything, that means asking anything, you know, ask the Father for anything,
uh-huh.
but to do it in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Jesus is our king. Jesus is
Amen.
Our king.
That's right.
A king has final authority. A king can do whatever he wants.
That's
and
right.
And he made us a promise that if we ask anything in his name, he will do it. Now, we all know that we're not talking about asking for something stupid and silly.
Right.
We're talking about asking the right way in God's will. He
right.
will do it.
Amen. Amen.
Any others you can think of?
Well, you know, Rosie, going back to the song when we very first started today, going back
mm-hmm.
to that song, he already knows that. The scripture says God already knows what you need. He already knows
he
what
already
you want.
He already knows.
He already knows. It's not a mystery to him. He's
it's
just
not.
Waiting
mm-hmm.
on us to communicate with him. That's just like us parents. Again, I go back to the analogy of a parent.
Amen.
I know what my children need. I already know they have needs. I already know what they need. But
mm-hmm.
sometimes I'm trying to grow them up. And
yes.
so in growing them, allowing them to grow up, rather than me just giving them stuff, just randomly giving them stuff, sometimes
mm-hmm.
I'm going to allow them, I'm going to wait. I'm going to sit back and wait and allow them to come to me. Because
yes.
they have to grow up. You know, sometimes I'm going to let them work those situations out on their own
yes.
rather than me being mommy and going in to save them. I can't save
yes.
them from everything. I have to allow
right.
them to
right.
grow up. And it goes
right.
back to something that you said last week. Last week we were talking about this very thing. God wants
mm-hmm.
us to grow up.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes. Yes.
It reminds me of when Paul said he wants us to come on to the meat of the word and get off the
Amen.
Milk.
Amen.
We got to take steps to maturity. You know, if we're being, if a lot of times we get the analogy of children, we know there's a growth process involved.
That's
yes.
right.
God never intended for us to stay as children. We got to grow up, and we got to
That's
mature.
That's right.
You know, and even as we mature, our faith has got to mature as well.
Amen.
We got to be able to believe God for bigger things and better things and more complex things,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
I made a statement or analogy a while ago about when you're in church praying for a healing. I said, don't pray for God to heal my head and you can get some Tylenol for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's trust God for the deeper things of God. Let's,
mm-hmm.
let's trust God for deeper miracles.
Yeah.
This happened with
church.
But now
he will
God,
heal
you know
my
what?
Headache too. He will
I'm
heal my headache
leg,
too.
You know,
but you know
Lord,
what?
How about regrowing my limb for me? How about curing this cancer? So let's have some real developing mature faith.
Amen.
Believe God at his word all the way.
But let us not. Now I hear you. But let us not forget that sometimes we pray, and I'm going to use the word amiss. I heard somebody else
mm-hmm.
use that word a little while ago.
That's
I like
right.
that word amiss. You know. The Lord, a lot of things that we pray for, we have no business praying for because they're already ours.
Come on.
All we have to do is go get them and to thank the Lord for them.
Yeah.
And because they're already ours, and I'm turning in my Bible right now. Thank God I found it. Isaiah 53. Surely he has borne our griefs. He has carried our sorrows. Now listen to what God is saying in your heart. Yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, our twisted
mm-hmm.
ways.
Yeah.
The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes
we are healed.
We were made healed. We are healed.
Amen.
And I don't think I need to go on and on and on. These things Jesus took upon himself. And when he went into the grave, they went with him. But guess what? He rose without them.
Amen.
He rose without them. He rose in victory over sin and death. So even though this may these things come at us, they don't belong to us.
Amen.
We are in Christ Jesus.
That's right.
They don't belong to us. I'm not saying they won't come, but they don't belong to us. So,
amen.
God, these are the things that we don't have to go to God oh, God, please remove this. No, he has given us authority.
Thank
when
you.
Jesus rose in victory, he gave us authority. He said,
amen.
Everything the Father gave to me,
I give
to you.
Amen. That's good.
Not some things, everything.
Okay. That's right.
Everything.
Okay,
I give
but now, Pastor
to
Moses,
you.
Pastor
yes.
Moses, I'm going to stop you right there, though, because that goes back to what you were saying a little while ago about the character of Jesus.
Yes.
When Jesus finished ministering, Jesus went up into the mountains to be alone with the Father.
Yes.
When Jesus got
yes.
up in the morning, he went up into the mountain. He went there alone to pray with God. When it was late at
yes.
night, Jesus went to be alone with the Father. So he was
yes.
filled. He was a reflection of the Father.
Yes.
So
yes.
Jesus had that authority. He walked in what he knew was his. Matter of fact, that's mm-hmm. what the people said. They said, wow, he teaches as one with authority.
That's right.
Not as the scribe.
You're right.
That's one of the
yes.
things that they said about him. I'm bringing that up because for us to reflect Jesus like that, we have to
yes.
be, we have to be like that in order to walk in that level of authority.
Hallelujah.
We're
going
to have to step
yes.
up our game to be in that
yes.
level of authority.
Yes.
We're
going
to have
what?
To actually spend time in prayer to do that. Go
yes.
ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say that. And we can do it. And we can all do it.
Amen.
We get in this word, study his word as our faith builds, and like you said, in continual prayer. Anyone, this is for any true believer.
Amen.
This
Amen.
Is a part of growing up.
Amen.
This is a part of growing up. This is what we mean by walking in our authority.
Amen.
We don't have to be begging and pleading.
But, Pastor Rosie, again, going back to something we said again earlier, going back full circle
mm-hmm.
again, why is it
mm-hmm.
that people don't walk in that level of authority? Why is it that people don't walk in that power that we've been given from the foundation of the earth? It goes back to all the little foxes. It goes back to the distractions. Because if you think about it,
definitely.
When we first get saved, we on fire. Zeal with no knowledge. We out there. We running. We going. We doing. Don't know what we doing, but we out there doing it anyway. Then we're saved for a little while. And
mm-hmm.
then we slow down. And then we start paying attention mm-hmm. to the people around us that are telling us, oh, you can't do that. Oh, that doesn't
that's
work.
Right.
Well, you know, they don't do that
uh-huh.
anymore. You start doing. You
mm-hmm.
start hearing those voices. Then you start having the distractions on your job and the distractions
yes.
at home. And the distractions
mm-hmm.
everywhere else. And those distractions
mm-hmm.
begin to weight us down between the voices
yes.
and the distractions. Now we start to get weighted down to where now we can't run as fast because we're carrying all that weight.
That's right. That's
yeah.
right. And let us not. Go ahead, Pastor.
Now, Pastor Kim, you know, you are so true about that, you know, because, you know, I always try to use myself as an example. I can look back when I first received the Lord. I was on fire, you know, and I just believed
yep.
God for anything and everything.
Everything.
And you know, even in healing, which God did heal me. But, you know, as you go on in life and you experience them being around, I'm not going to blame it all on Christians, but you hear so many different beliefs and understandings when it comes down to how you're being pastored and nourished, you know, when it comes down to the word. You know, and that's even outside of your life as far as
right.
you know living. You know, there's so many
right.
distractions in that area too. And we, you know, even matter of fact, recently I made a statement as of yesterday, you know, because of the snowstorm and everything. I've been at work, and it's like you don't, you know, you're so focused on working, and you have to work, and then you don't have time. You shouldn't be, you're not praying like you should, you know.
Come on.
I want to be godly minded. I don't want to be thinking about my job and everything else that's going on in my life. I want to think about the goodness of the Lord and think about what I need to do in ministry, you know, and be focused more strong in that area than to be focused on, you know, getting this snow up off the side, you know.
But you know what? Just like we said a few minutes ago, all the distractions go back to money. All the distractions in our lives go back to money.
That's true. But you know what I believe what we need to do? And I'm saying that because it's almost like you have to really do some tedious balancing when it comes down to your faith and your trust in God. Because there's times that, you know, I'm leaving out the door in my vehicle praying, you know, and didn't pray in the morning because I ain't got up early enough. I got up early enough to get up and get dressed and get out the door. So I'm praying going down the road.
Come on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and then prayerfully saying things throughout the day to remind the Lord, Lord, I ain't forgot about you. I still love you, Lord, you know. And I thank you for your grace and your mercy, Lord. You know, watch over me. But to really say, if I give in God my all, I have not, because that requires time.
Amen. And
you know something? I drive an hour to work in really bad traffic. It's over an hour. But I am so thankful to God. Oh, you have no idea how many times I thank God for that time. People ask me, how do you do that? I said, I don't even realize the time goes by so fast. Because that's my time. That is my time with Him.
With God.
I'm being honest with you. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. My car may not like it, but I love it. And you know, I just have to throw one other thing in there because time is winding down. One other thing. Let's not forget, and Pastor Kelly hit briefly on it. Let us not forget. Now, we do have some lazy Christians. The Bible calls it insolent, indolent, you know, lazy. And I was reading about that in 1 Samuel, because when I was trying to put all this together here, I read about that in 1 Samuel 12, where he was talking about, that's what he was alluding to, lazy Christians. Now, you can't tell me that is not a part of that formula.
Amen.
You have to put some effort toward. I mean, look, at your marriage, I don't know how many people, again, on this line is married, but those of you that are married, you know, if you don't put some effort to keep the fire going, pretty soon you're just going to have some embers, and those embers are going to burn out pretty soon. You've got to put in effort. You have to put in some work.
You're right.
Yes.
You got to put in some work. You're absolutely right.
And when you put in the work, you get rewarded over and above what you could ever expect.
Amen. Pastor Rose, this has been good tonight. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Pastor Rose was mentioning about, you know, the marriage and stuff, and you know, it's, you know, once again, distractions, and we really, you know, don't take the time out to try to do that because we focus on, you know, our everyday life situations and circumstances, you know, and you're trying to keep that going, and sometimes that gets in the way, you know, so that's how come we need to take time out and do things as married couples, not just at home, but also in the church as well.
Amen.
That's right.
You're absolutely right.
That's right. Absolutely.
You're absolutely right. So the bottom line is we recognize that just like a marriage, your covenant with God is a relationship that has to be cultivated.
Right.
Has to be cultivated.
Amen.
And you have to put in some work.
That's right. That's true. Amen.
Don't be a lazy Christian.
Amen.
And that goes for the young people, too, the young people that listen on this line. I'm talking to you also. Amen. Don't be a lazy Christian. You
Amen.
Want results in your life? Put
Amen.
More effort.
Amen.
It's been a good one. Our time has come to a close.
Yes, it's time to come to a close. Is this Paco on the line?
Yes, ma'am, it is.
Would you like to close us out in prayer?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Father God, we thank you for this word tonight. Thank you for those who have participated and called in. We thank you, God, for the teacher and instructor tonight for this lesson. And God, we pray that this word will stay in our hearts and our minds and in our spirits.
Amen.
As always, Father, we thank you for mm-hmm. salvation and glory. We
yes.
thank you for your mercy
Father.
Over our lives. We repent for our sin, and we
yes,
ask
Lord,
to
Jesus.
Bless each family, each member, God, each mm-hmm. person connected to this ministry.
Yes.
In
yes,
the name
Father.
Of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray.
Yes,
we thank you, Father. Amen and amen.
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 Amen. Y'all be blessed.
Hallelujah.
All
Have
right, looking for
tonight.
Another exciting
Good night.
Lesson on next Tuesday.
Amen.
All right.
All right.
Good night, everybody.